Flower Day in the Symbology series. Got a couple new faces, people who weren't able to attend yesterday. Were you there yesterday?
Yeah,
you were there. What's your name?
Matthew. Yeah, with an accent.
Matthew. You have to say it with the accent.
I can do the French, Matthew. But you're British, right?
I am, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, so yesterday we were introducing the names using one of the symbolic sayings of Hashanah Khan by saying, it is you, beloved, whom I see in all names and forms. So let's do a round of that with the name. That won't take us very long in this very small circle. And why don't we do the original saying now, which is, it is the beloved whom I see in all names and forms. So, say your name.
I am Inaje.
It is the beloved whom I see in all names and forms.
You're 15 now.
It is the beloved I see in all names and forms.
Matthew.
It is the beloved I see in all names and forms.
Janae.
It is the beloved I see in all names and forms.
I'm Samuel Valiant.
It is the beloved I see in all names and forms.
Maybe.
It is thee, beloved, I see in all my names and forms.
See me.
It is thee, beloved, I see in all names and forms.
Majida.
It is thee, beloved, I see in all names and forms. Amir.
It
is thee, beloved, I see in all names and forms. So let's begin by just breathing for a little bit and attuning. I know that one or two other people will be joining us when they can. Nora Grace is definitely coming. She's meeting with Pierzia right now, so we may have some people coming in. But let's begin with some inner work before we do more talking. So, be with the breath now, very consciously on the out-breath and the in-breath, and feel the dance of those two parts of the breath. Breathing out very consciously, breathing in very consciously. Feeling the reciprocal relationship of emptying and filling, how interdependent these two parts of the dance are. And the fana of the out-breath, fana meaning something akin to annihilation or disappearance or thinning and leaving, and the baka or the appearance and reappearance, the resurrection of the in-breath. Imagine now as you breathe out that it's like the out-breath of all the old withered leaves and petals and flowers. Anything that's really needs to fall off you can fall off with your exhalation. And as you breathe in, be really conscious of your buds, and the green shoots and the blooms that are coming. So stay focused on this, on your out-breath. Imagining it's like the out-breath of fall, and all the things in you, the impressions that you no longer need to carry around, the things which have had a life but now can be let go of. Feel the out-breath helping you say goodbye to whatever it is, and you don't have to name it with your intellect, just feel it more symbolically. And on the in-breath, letting that high, the vitality of life itself come into your emerging life, the emerging greenery of your existence. The things that grow and come forward in our being, sometimes to our great surprise. Just go back and forth like that. Very deeply into this Fikr practice, even as we hear a lot of activity outside the garden. In this circle, it's just a garden, and we can feel like we are these growing plants that are rather aloof from the activities of human life outside the garden. We're disinterested, we have no emotion about it. We're really just being our plant, being the plant that we are. Now, as you breathe out, imagine that you're breathing out with all your longing. That longing that's like the cry of separation that Rumi talks about in the Song of the Reed. The longing for what we've been separated from. Feel that every out-breath. And then on the in-breath, feel the finding of that. The fulfillment of that. Awakening to the union of what we're longing for. Going back and forth, out breath, feel the painful longing of what our deepest heart desires. And on the in breath, feeling and finding that within. Staying with that feeling, but now we can repeat these words internally as we breathe out. We hear the words, the love your deepest heart desires. And as we breathe in, we hear the words inside us, is offered with every breath you take. Breathing out, the love your deepest heart desires. Breathing in is offered with every breath you take. the words fade away, but keep breathing very consciously in this dance of the, this reciprocal dance of the out-breath and the in-breath. And as you breathe out, be in that place of searching, what you're searching for. So let the breath, the out-breath, represent that instinct in you that leads you to search and search and search. As we sang this morning, through darkness I've searched and searched for thee. So feel that in the out-breath, like you're looking and looking and looking. And on the in-breath, feel the emotion of being found by that which you've been searching for. Like if a mother was searching for their lost child and all of a sudden the lost child comes up behind them and is found by that child. That's the in-breath. So feel the play of those two places in our heart. As we breathe out, we hear the words, the rose whose scent you seek. The rose whose scent you seek. And as we breathe in, we hear the words, is blooming at your very feet. Is blooming at your very feet. Breathing out, the rose whose scent you seek. Breathing in is blooming at your very feet. Into our being through music. That's the idea of Nakshband or symbology, is that we pay attention in a certain way that's enables us to hold on to an impression that we want to hold on to. Is there a war going on up there or something?
Cafeteria.
Oh, it's the cafeteria. It's the
It's just bad. It's just bad percussionists. That's all.
Oh, I'm used to
they just don't have. Yeah. Thank you. I resemble that remark.
So the band, the house band over here, is going to just sing this. But if you want to join, this is actually a two-part round. If we can get it going, but I'm not attached to that at all. I just want the music to be able to be a way, as we talked about yesterday, to actually tattoo. An idea. And Mercer talks about this in those words, to actually make the impression in us in a way that it's not the impression made on water, it's not the impression made on sand, which stays a little bit longer than water. It's the impression made in stone. It's the one that's chiseled in, or I use tattooed. I know you can get tattoo removal, but you know, the idea is something that could never possibly leave you because it's so in you. And so you have the idea, which is what we've just, the love your deepest heart desires is offered with every breath you take. The rose whose scent you seek is blooming at your very feet. So here's the idea. But it's just an idea right now. It could just be like on water.
But it seems to me that you would have to sing it in order to make the impression strong.
Yes.
Thank you for that introduction. Right on cue. The love your deepest heart desires is offered with every breath you take. The rose whose was here for Sokolet's morning attunement the other day when he was doing, and now do this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So if you can do that stuff, you think you can do that stuff with him? You can do this stuff. Because this is like a million times easier than that. That was so funny. I just, that he had actually had people believing they could do that. It was wonderful. So you can sing.
Your memory dreams.
it's in you and it's a tattoo, now just go back to a couple more breaths on it. Love your deepest heart desires is offered with every breath you take. The rose whose scent you seek is blooming at your very feet. It's dangerous to read to a group of people at any hour of the day, but at 2:25 in the afternoon, it's almost guaranteed to put you to sleep. So we can call this the Nidra Yoga part of the afternoon, when you can just kind of do that if you like. But I'm not going to read very much. These are words of our Pira Mushudanayak Khan.
Maybe we should circle in tighter just to get... The distractions are loud out here.
I would love that. Yeah. I would love people to just come in like fireside, as if it's a really cold night, and we're doing that. That would be so lovely. Thank you, Janae.
But we're not allowed to put the fire in. That's just done.
Okay. No, that's you're the fire.
Just bring the recorder in too, and you guys are out of the circle now, so that's not right.
You're the fire.
We went to like prayers for thousand people down at the convention center, and they're so lovely. Like, there's the Somali kids and the Moroccan kids and the Saudi kids and everybody's wearing beautiful clothes. And so through the whole prayer, especially on the women's side, where I was just, there was children crying, like babies crying. You heard it through the whole . You know, and the mothers, like, they do their prayer, they have their baby in their arm, they go down and just they put the baby down, pick it up, you know. They're like, the other ones, the older ones are like wandering around through the rows. Some of them are actually doing the prayer, depending on how. Everybody's been given too much candy because people pass out candy, so like the others are sucking on their little lollipops and Tootsie Rolls. And my daughter was with me, and then she's 16, and she said the children. I said, yeah, she said, afterwards, this was the thing that she knew. She said, I just loved it, Mom. It was like the kids were crying, but that was my favorite part. And we were doing the prayer, and it's like, it's just the most beautiful thing. Like, there's no sense. It wouldn't even occur to people that that's somehow at odds with, like, they're going inside, they go inside, they do their namaz. It's physical, so that helps. And I guess as I've said this, the like silence is
falling. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the cacophony is just, you know, like it's just totally, yeah.
Or it could be what the silversmiths in the marketplace that Rumi was looking for. Mm-hmm.
One of the best teachings I ever got was if you're ever disturbed by something, change it into a symbol, which is a deep teaching. Mm-hmm. So I was once with my friend Nawab looking up at the skyline of the mountains around Vancouver, and there's these quite bright lights going up one of them. And I always said, you know, I really wish they would just take down the lights on Seymour, you know, it's just so, you're looking at this beautiful, you know, outline, and then there's these kind of gaudy lights going up. And she looked at me and said, Amir, just make them pilgrims on the way up to the mountaintop. And so for now 30 years, I've looked at that mountain and gone, there's the pilgrims. And so that's symbology at work right there. That's like everyday functional symbology where you can turn anything like that clatter into the whatever you want. If you want to make it the silversmiths doing the embedding of beauty into us. So this word Nakhban, that is the Persian, is Nakhban Arabic or Persian? I want to say it's Persian or Farsi.
Yeah, the band is Farsi. Naqsh comes from Arabic, but the band part is.
So Naqsh is the image, or it means anything that's like the image of the painting, the decoration, it's all those things. And the band is this, the is kind of how it is woven or painted or adhered. It's the
Like tied together.
Tied together, yeah.
wonder if that's where the word brand came from. It's branded onto.
That's one way of thinking about it. Oh, that reminds me of this poem. This goes with the flowers, eh?
French about poems.
Oh.
It's called The Roses of Sadi. I wanted to bring you roses this morning. There were so many I wanted to bring. The knots at my waist could not hold so many. The knots burst and all the roses took wing. The air was filled with roses flying, carried by the wind into the sea. The waves were red as though they were burning. My dress still has the scent of the morning, remembering roses, smell them on me.
It's even more beautiful in French. Respire en sur moi l'adorant souvenir. It's but that's not what I was going to read. I was going to read this. This is from the Introduction to Symbology, and I'm just going to read two of the many paragraphs, and they're not very long. The wise have given lessons to the world in different forms, suited to the evolution of the people at a particular time. And the first and most original form of education that the wise gave to the world has been symbolical. This method of teaching has been valued in all ages and will always have its importance. That is not beauty which is not veiled. That is not beauty which is not veiled. In the veiling and unveiling of beauty is the purpose of life. Beauty is that which is always out of reach. You see it, and you do not see it. You touch it, and you cannot touch it. It is seen and yet veiled. It is known and yet unknown. And therefore, words are often inadequate to express the beauty of truth. Therefore, symbolism is adopted by the wise. I love the language of those days. And then the ending of that talk is, to a person who sees only the surface of life, the symbols mean nothing. The secret of symbols is revealed to the souls who see through life, whose glance penetrates through objects. Verily, before the seer, the things of the world open themselves, and it is the uncovering of things in which is hidden beauty. There is a great joy in understanding, especially things that express nothing to everybody. There is a great joy in understanding, especially things that express nothing to everybody. You understand what he's saying?
Almost.
Well, you know, if you see a menorah, to 99% of the world, it's just, oh, it looks like, you know, candle holder. But to a Jew or somebody who's really been steeped in that, you look at it and you have all these impressions that are associated with it, and you understand it. You understand the stories behind it. And so there's a great joy in that. There's a great joy in actually having that knowledge. It requires intuition, even something deeper than intuition. It requires insight to read symbols. To the one to whom the symbols speak of their nature and of their secret, each symbol is a living manuscript in itself. And here's the big finish. Symbolism is the best way of learning the mysteries of life. I always like it when he gets to these big sayings like, music is the fastest way to spiritual enlightenment. I always like to quote that one. But here's another great quote, which is, symbolism is the best way of learning the mysteries of life, and the best way of leaving ideas behind, which will keep for ages after the teacher has passed. It is speaking without speaking. It is writing without writing. The symbol may be said to be an ocean in a drop, which is the title of this whole series, the series in here, and this series too, An Ocean in a Drop. You know the word kosh? Kosh?
Kashf.
Is it Kashf? So it's usually the word used to indicate insight, but it also has something connected with unveiling, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us, oh, etymology queen, about that?
Kashf is to unveil.
Yeah.
And we have a Kashfiyah here, don't we, this weekend? I met Kashfiyah.
Yeah, that's right.
She's our registrar.
So this is the
and there's two sides of it. There's tajalli, which is the like divine self manifestation. It's like when the divine reveals its glory, or it's theophany. Sometimes we use the word theophany, right? That's tajalli. And then kashf is can be like our unveiling, you know, our process. Having the insight that allows us to receive that, so it's the two sides.
And so Murshid is saying that there's such a great joy in that unveiling through understanding when we really go deeply into something. So this is called the season of the rose, and there's such a great joy if we really actually go to the deepest understanding of the rose, of roseness. As Pirzia says, you know, you start with concentrating on the rose, and then you close your eyes and you contemplate the image of the rose, but ultimately the meditation is on rosehood or roseness. And that's when you're getting into that deepest, subtle understanding of the symbol. And of course, we go beyond words, we go beyond anything that could be articulated in the blah, blah, blah of that language, of linear language. And I just love how he says, not only is this... there's a great joy in this, but it's also the way to ensure that things are left for the future, because symbols, it's like this little card that was left in front of the roses. Did you see this card? Species roses are the foundation upon which all other roses were created, and they were the very first roses, also known as wild roses, predating humans by thousands of millennia. You know, so I thought of symbols, and I think how long symbols have lasted, and you know, we don't even know what the original meaning was sometimes. So,
I think the symbol of the rose is even more potent with it's the fragrance.
Yes.
Because when you sit there and you try to savor that fragrance, I mean, you immediately close your eyes. And you breathe that in, and you picture the rose, right? So it's not just, you know, seeing something beautiful. It's really the embodying inward of that, and it brings, you know, draws you into that.
And even children know this, because I've seen them look at the flowers, and they really look at, oh, how beautiful, and then they put their noses up, and it doesn't smell. And there's this intuitive understanding that there's something really wrong with this picture, that the essence of it, the perfume,
yeah, that's
is
what I'm
missing.
Getting at. It's like when you start to go, you know, you naturally just kind of go, that mean, you know, you draw it in just by breathing it in, right?
And so the understanding of that in terms of practical life is sometimes that which has surface beauty, if you smell it and there's no fragrance, maybe music or whatever, or a food or something, then maybe there's something maybe incomplete. There may be still some value in it. I like flowers sometimes when they have no fragrance, but there's something missing.
Some roses do not have a sweet fragrance.
I know. And I'm always, I can't help it but mildly disappointed, because of course I love old roses which have that.
These are wonderful. Yeah.
So we're going to talk later on about why the rose as opposed to other flowers, because Hazrat Khan uses all sorts of flowers in his symbology. But for example, in this nature meditation book, there's 2 pages on flowers in general, and then there's 3 or 4 pages on roses. So that's an indicator. There's some indication why the rose. As I said yesterday, why is this not the season of the daisy or the season of the hyacinth? It could be. Those are nice flowers. So when we understand why they're rose, it will go deeper. So I want to, if we can, spend some time on that today. But Probably not much time to do a recap of yesterday, but we got just a little bit into impressions yesterday. And the soul is, as Murshid always talks about, the soul is like a mirror, or he oftentimes uses the idea of a photographic plate. You know, back then it was old photography, so you know the image would go onto a photographic plate. Whatever is put in front of the soul, it impresses the soul. It has no discretion. It has no judgment, good or bad. Whatever is put in front of the soul, it's like a mirror. Whatever is put in front of the mirror is there, except the soul holds on to it. The mirror doesn't. But so think about all the countless impressions we have in us. And yesterday we talked a bit about the ratio of harmful impressions to blessed impressions. And of course we began to get a bit anxious because modern life is very difficult to keep the ratio a good ratio. So mystical symbolic work in part involves that correcting of the ratio for the medicine, that we can imbue ourselves through prayer and through working with symbols, through keeping altars, through beautifying our home, through wearing certain things, anything that will in some ways balance or even counteract so many of the harmful impressions. It's not just our human life and form. We started collecting a lot of impressions in the beginning when after we left the world of the angels, where there's hardly any individuation at all, and then we're into the jinn plane, our soul spends so long there, gathering in impressions from mostly from outgoing souls. And again, the soul doesn't have any judgment about what it takes. It just takes what it takes. And we might have been, if you're a gardener like Manchita is, she was probably impressed by flowers and beauty. I was probably impressed by music. Think about what we actually brought into this world. But we might have also been impressed by a lot of trauma, a lot of hurt, and we can use flowers to actually heal much of that. It's not an accident that we bring flowers to people who are ill, you know, because flowers have great healing power. So as you watch this video, you might want to think about impressions. And I made this little video so you wouldn't have to hear my voice very much. You could hear Majita's voice. It's just 10 minutes long, and it features a lot of Hazrat Khan's sayings on flowers. This is a small representation of him. He has quite a lot of it. Yesterday I talked about how I did this very geeky detective work, and I counted all the different symbolical forms in all the sayings, the complete sayings, and I found out that water far outnumbers any other one. Flowers come in second. So the silver medal goes to flowers. I think there's about 80 or 85 flower sayings. So in other words, flowers are very important to Hazrat Khan. All right, so you ready to just sit back and watch TV for a while? How often do you get to offer this? Can I get some help closing these curtains? Maybe somebody could just pull those aside. Turn around and feel free to sit in chairs or make yourself comfortable.
flowers are the footprints of thy dancing steps. The flower is the illusion. The fragrance is the reality. The fragrance is the spirit of the flower. It persists. Let my plant bring forth thy flowers. Let my fruits produce thy seed. I see thy mystery hidden, beloved, under the petals of the flower. Gather thyself together as the rose holds its petals. The divine spark in my heart is as the dewdrop on the rose. Tulip, what did you learn? empty cup of myself. Orchid, what do your petals represent? Graceful movements of the dance. Orchid, what does your dance express? The earth paying homage to heaven. Little daisies, what gospel do you preach? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Beautiful gorse bushes, what are you here for? We are little lanterns on your path. But where do you get your prickly thorns from? Flowers from above, thorns from below. Wheat grain, they shall inherit the earth. Get your prickly thorns from? Flowers from above, thorns from below. Wheat grains, why do you grow so close together? Unity is our strength. That is why you seek us in your life sustenance. Palm tree, what do your outstretched hands signify? I raise my hands heavenward when I pray, and then I pass the blessing on to the earth. Pine trees, what are you? We are the phantoms of sages who prefer vigil in the forest solitude to life in the world. Where did you learn your philosophy? Once upon a time, a voice said to me, I am the love, and I am the life. Oh, Rosebud, thy blooming gives me the impression of my beloved's countenance. Let my heart bloom in thy love as the rose. It is thy sweetness, beloved, which I enjoy in the sweet fragrance of the rose. rose brings forth fragrance, color, and beautiful structure. So the soul, with its unfoldment, shows personality, atmosphere, and refined manner.
Perfectionist in me wants to say, it's so much better when the soundtrack works. I think there's something with the system.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But at least Majida's voice was there and the sayings were there. That's probably the important part of the images. But when the music is consistent, it's really great.
Is that your photography? Is that your photography?
Only about three or four of them is my photography. Most of it is borrowed from the internet.
Amir, Majida, it was such a wonderful production. Mm-hmm. The thoughtfulness, the time, the attention of bringing all that together is an expression of love for us. Mm-hmm. That you wanted us to have this experience, and you got it. That was the easy feat right there, to bring all those things together, to find each of the flowers, to put them together with the pictures and the words. It took a lot of care and attention, and that we received that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for saying that.
The order that you put it in, I was really marveling at that. It had such a, it was a beautiful unfoldment in itself, the way that
I did intentionally choose to put the last saying about the rose there because it, in a sense, it answers the question about why the rose. At least it's one of the answers to the question, why the rose? Because there, Mirsha talks about the rose has this architecture, that it has a fragrance, and it has color, so it has, in terms of its character, there is just so much richness there in the rose. And when we think about our spiritual path, well, what are the teachings of our spiritual path? Is to have a personality, which is, we could say, is the color, to really have a very clear and beautiful structure or architecture of our being. So, in other words, to have balance, or to have all these things which create good architecture. And finally, of course, is to be able to create an atmosphere, which is the fragrance, because that's the great telling tale of our spiritual realization, is what atmosphere do we bring, do we evoke and invoke, and do we leave behind? Well, that's the fragrance. And so our work, in a sense, is to become like beautiful roses, so that we can have that truth of personality and that depth of structure and architecture and that beautiful, beautiful atmosphere. And I think the rose is probably the flower that can best represent that. And certainly, I think the mystics would say that. Does anybody else have ideas about why they're rose?
Well, we know.
I got stuck on a tulip. But
I like tulips too. But you know, let me tell you, if you're ever wanting to express love to Linda, to Amina,
tulips?
No. Try roses. I mean, you know, I don't know, girls, do you ever get tulips on Valentine's Day instead of roses? You know, it's nice. I love tulips. Tulips are my favorite flower, but you know, like, especially if it was a new relationship, tulips. Oh, thank you. I'm just kidding.
One thing about the rose is that it unfolds.
Yes.
So it goes from bud to being full. And I wanted to share that on my very first Sufi event,
that I attended before I was an initiate, which was led by Sarasati Neil. You go around and you have to share some. And what came to me to share was that I felt like a rose that had been brought into a warm room. And that was without having read this symbolism.
I think the metaphor came because it's not just about the beauty. It's got thorns. You know, it's got the path right there, right? It's got the hard, harmful part and the beautiful part, and they're kind of co-mixed. And it's, you know, I think that's part of the reason why it's been chosen as metaphor.
Yes.
I wanted to ask Simi, is there an Arabic word for the rose?
Yeah,
what is
rose? It's like it's a name. It's used. Just the way Rose is used as a name, but you know, in the world of classical ghazal, you have these pairs of lovers that represent lover and beloved, divine and human, right? And so you have the flame, and then the moth that's drawn to the flame and itself, you know, and loses itself in the flame. You have an image of the beloved, which is the sarve simin, the salt, the tall, kind of slender, silver cypress, and the poet is in love with the cypress, which is the stature, the elegance of the beloved, again, a symbol of the divine. So in that world, I mean, the rose is definitely, and it's the one who's in love with the rose is the nightingale, and the nightingale. And then there's the wind that comes from the east, the morning breeze, which brings the fragrance of that beloved rose and brings, you know, a message from the rose. So there's this whole romance that happens with the nightingale, the rose, and this breeze. And in the poetry, the thorn very often, you know, makes an appearance. Like there's a ghazal that this wonderful ghazal singer, Munni Begum, sings, and she lives in Chicago now. And it says, my hamnashin, you who are sitting with me, you who are my companion, sitting right next to me in this gathering, chal kahin aur chal, come, let's go somewhere else. It's time to leave this place now. So this evokes Eden, because we had to leave Eden, but it's also a revolutionary kind of ghazal. It's time for us to go somewhere else. Ischaman me ab apna guzara nahi. We can no longer bear this garden. This, like, we can't make a go of it in this garden anymore. It says, baat hoti gula tak to sahle te hamle. If it were simply a matter of the roses, if it just went as far as the roses, we'd swallow it, we'd endure it. It says, lekin ab to kaanton pe bhi haq hamara nahi. But now we have no haq, we have no right, even to the thorns. You know, and so, yeah, it evokes that kind of Edenic experience of leaving that garden, but it's also a kind of political statement, you know, like if you look at what's happening now in all over the world, right? You know, you could say it as an American Muslim with Trump, or you could say it Pakistan.
Oh, no, we were 6 day break from hearing that name.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But I do want to go back to...
That it's like, yeah, but there's poetry about tulip.
There's poetry about all the flowers, and so we're not denigrating in any way the tulip.
But the rose is that symbol.
The rose,
yeah.
And I think that Nur Fatima said something very, very important about the rose symbol, which is that the whole spiritual path is about unfoldment and unfoldment of our true nature and our haq. And of course the rose, so much of its life is this little bud that seems like, oh, it's so tight, and then it at its moment it unfurls. So let's really feel these things, because we just talked about a few aspects of this. Let's feel first of all, feel the roots of the rose bush, because that's the part that's not seen. So if we are in this garden and we are these roses, we have these roots that are our ancestry, or the places we've been through and that we've taken nourishment from, the things which were there before we were there.